Well, I hope you've been having a good evening so far. I don't know about you, but like when you come in the lobby and there's all of those Christmas lights right there, it's just like being like, wham, Christmas right in the face. And I don't know if you know this or not. This is, I think, fairly common knowledge, that the amount of Christmas joy that you experience is directly correlated to the amount of Christmas lights you have. So this year, I guess my Christmas joy at my house is about mid. But anyways, you know, I'm just kidding about the lights, but here's the thing. I do have to admit that I really do love Christmas lights. In fact, one of the things my parents used to do when I was a kid is after the Christmas Eve service, we'd always go to a Christmas Eve service very much like this, and then we would go for a drive. I grew up in Alberta, and it was freezing, so that's why we'd go for a drive. And we would take in all of the Christmas lights, and it just really helped center you into that Christmas spirit, that Christmas moment. And it's a tradition that I carry on even now with my family after the Christmas Eve service. I mean, Ladysmith makes it so easy. We just roll out of the parking lot, down the hill of doom, and then on to First Avenue. And when you drive down First Avenue at night at Christmas time, does it not feel like you've been transported into a Hallmark movie? Like, you're just driving by looking at the lights, and you're like, okay, where is the lumberjack with the chiseled jawline proposing to the big city lawyer in heels? Yeah. Right? They're here somewhere. Now, so just in case any of you are planning on taking in the lights after the service this evening, I thought I would get you prepped with some really bad puns. And so here are some Christmas light puns to brighten up your evening. Are these lights real, or are they just a filament of my imagination? I am delighted to see all of these Christmas decorations. When you drive by that big tree, just look over to the person next to you and say, "Tree's lit." If you're waiting for that person you're always waiting for, you can say, "Hey, no worries, I'll be waiting light here." Or if you're a little bit more romantic, you could say, "You light up my life." And this was my personal favorite. "My squad's just like Christmas lights, because if one of us goes all out, we all go out." But have you ever stopped to ask yourselves, what is it about Christmas lights that makes us feel all warm and fuzzy and tingly on the inside? Because there's something about it that just really gets you in the Christmas spirit. And the good news for you is that, like most things, I have thought way too much about this. And the reason that Christmas lights evoke such powerful emotions is because of the dichotomy between light and darkness is embedded in human experience. They evoke powerful emotions. They're deeply symbolic of order in chaos, hope in despair, good overcoming evil, truth exposing lies, joy dissolving sorrow, and love defeating hate. Amen. Because light always dispels darkness. And that, my friends, is what Christmas is actually all about. Jesus, the light of the world, has come to show us the way to a real and lasting relationship with God. And we find the Christmas story in the Bible, and there's four different eyewitness accounts to the life of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Mark, the earliest of the Gospels, doesn't even tell the Christmas story. Mark is like, "Let's just get to business." He shows up right when Jesus starts his earthly ministry and goes from there. Luke and Matthew is where we find the very familiar nativity that Pastor Kaylee read to us earlier. Both tell of the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, through the Virgin Mary. Luke writes about how he was laid to rest in a manger, a crude feeding trough for animals, because there was no room in our homes or our hearts for the newborn Son of God. He goes on to say that there were lowly shepherds watching their flocks by night when an angel of the Lord appeared to them and declared, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." And it was Matthew who would fill in how later the wise men from the east would follow that star and come and worship the newborn king with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then there's Christmas according to John. And John takes a very different view of the Christmas story. Here is his version of the Nativity. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." You notice that he doesn't say a light. He's not just saying a generic truth about light. He's saying the light. "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." He's talking about light personified. The glory of the one true God wrapped in the mystery of the incarnation. 100% God, 100% man. And later, during his earthly ministry, Jesus himself would identify himself as this light. He declared, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." See, by Jesus' own self-identification, he is both the light that confronts and the light that comforts. The reason he's the light that confronts is that the dramatic underlying presupposition to his statement is that without him, we're stumbling around in the dark. That for all of us who think that we're wise and enlightened and have it all together, he says, "No, without me, you're in the dark." That for all of humanity's wisdom and philosophy and religious pursuits and spirituality, that void of Jesus, all of that is empty. We find ourselves stumbling around in ignorance, blinded by sin, and lost in our search for meaning, purpose, and acceptance. Christmas is not a holiday about how great and wonderful we are. Instead, it exposes the darkness that is embedded in our hearts. And maybe you can hide it from your friends or your family or put up a front, but you can't hide from God. I love what scholar N.T. Wright says. He says this: "Christmas is God lighting a candle. And you don't light a candle in a room that is already full of sunlight. You light a candle in a room that's so murky that the candle, when lit, reveals just how bad things really are." You know, have you ever stopped to ask yourself, why is it with all of our holiday festivities and our shopping and all of the things and the season that's supposed to bring, you know, hope, peace, joy, and love, why is it so often hectic and stressful and lonely? Christmas comes and goes, and with it the hope that maybe this year things will be different or that we can change goes right along with it. You know, when we look around the world today and see wars across the globe, where we live in a culture of outrage, and it seems like anxiety is at an all-time high, is peace on earth something that's only reserved for Christmas cards? And much to our dismay, despite all of the promises of the advertisers, we go to the mall and we shop, and that joy that we're looking for there is just simply not. And for all of our lofty promises, our love is reserved for those who love us back. Could it be, friends, that somehow in all of our elaborate celebrations, we find ourselves missing the whole point of Christmas? See, if we didn't need a Savior, Jesus would have never come. There never would have been a Christmas. But the light has come, and it confronts and offends by exposing just how bad things really are. But the light of Jesus also comforts. Author James Emery White writes this. He says, "Sometimes the fire that warms is the fire that burns. I'm not convinced that any other kind of God would even matter." See, friends, if we accept his confrontation, we will be embraced by his comfort. Because light not only exposes, it also illuminates. It shows us the path that leads to life. Let's listen again closely to Jesus' words. He says, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. He is the light that leads to life. He is the way to a lasting and loving relationship with God. When many of us think about God, we often think about a God of wrath who's just waiting for us to mess up. We think about the God that burns, and we cannot imagine that the light that exposes is also the light that accepts. That God sees us for who we truly are is also the first to open his arms and welcome us. Because that is exactly why he came. I heard somebody say, I'm not sure who said this, but someone said, you know, so often in our pursuit of God, we have some guy or some person say, look, let me show you the way to God. In Christianity, God comes down to earth and says, hey, I'm here. I don't need to show you, I'm here. And he came to take his sin, our sin upon himself, to absorb our darkness in his unending light. He came in obscurity, and we rejected him. He preached the truth, and we killed him. And yet, in doing so, he forgave our sins. The cross and the manger, the symbols of obscurity and shame, would become the means of our salvation. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. You know, this holiday season, I've really found myself captivated by the candles of Advent. You know, we have five meager candles in the chaos of the modern world. And pardon, if you will, one more pun. How can this dusty old tradition hold a candle to the modern Christmas? Because I was thinking about it, and we have all of the lights and all of the celebrations and all of the things, and then you have five candles. And the first candle, if you're not familiar with Advent, it's talking about Christ coming. The first candle that's lit very lonely and by itself is the hope candle. And is that not how hope starts? One single light alone in the dark. But as we look forward to Jesus' coming, it grows and grows and grows. Next to it, we have the peace candle. I don't know about you, but in my preparations for Christmas, I'm often busy being stressed in preparations and anxiously waiting. But peace accompanies our hopeful expectation. The peace that Christ gives fills us with hope. And then the third week of Advent, we have the joy candle. This one is particularly meaningful to me. If you know me, I'm a fairly melancholy person. And joy, just like a flame, brings light and life and warmth to all who draw near to it. And it reminds me that Jesus has something that I need. And then the fourth candle over here is the love candle, the greatest of the four. The Bible says, if I do not have love, I'm nothing. And in love, we find all the rest. And you could say, okay, what is greater than love? What could possibly be greater than love? The only thing greater than love is love personified. And so we have the Christ candle. And in Christ is the fullness of all. He is our love. He is our joy. He is our peace, our hope. And I just find it so fitting that in all of that is going on and all of the things that grab for our attention, that these five candles are burning. Much like that first Christmas night. The newborn Son of God spent that first night in poverty and obscurity. A single flame in a dark world in danger of being snuffed out. And yet for all of its frailty, a single flame contains within it the unquenchable power to spark a blaze that lights up the night sky. And in the same way, in that babe was the life and light for all of mankind. See, friends, so often we come to Christmas in search of a mighty blaze. We come looking for the wow and the show, and we want a light that's going to light up the heavens. And yet the Son of God veiled his majesty in meekness, contained his power in frailty, and in his riches he hid in poverty. The glory of God in all its fullness was pleased to dwell in a babe that first Christmas morn. See, friends, the message of the manger is that the light has come. We don't have to go to God. We don't have to search him out. We don't have to stumble around in the dark. He has come. And light always expels darkness. Would you pray with me? And as I pray, I'm going to invite the band to come back up. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you loved us enough to light a candle. That you love us enough to send your one and only Son, Jesus, be born of a virgin, to grow up, become a man, to teach, be persecuted, to die on that cross, and to rise again. So that we could have life and life in all of its fullness. And Father, if I could pray one thing over the people in this room tonight, it would be that they would know you from the depths of their heart, that the light and life that is in Jesus would fill their hearts, that this Christmas would hit different. That when they wake up tomorrow morning and maybe there's presents and chaos going on, that there would be that peace that Jesus came. And God, maybe there's some friends who are going to wake up Christmas morning and they're going to be alone. But Father, I pray that they would recognize and feel your presence near them, knowing the truth of Emmanuel, God with us. Because friends, if we have Jesus, we have more than enough. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.